Samuel, I think 1 Samuel 15:23, it is called a spirit of rebellion. Now, I believe that's what happened in the, make a note of this, I believe this, that's what happened in the 8th chapter of Acts. When Philip went down, that man was dealing with familiar spirits, he was dealing with witchcraft. And every now and then you see on TV, somebody talking to people and all of them starts floating in the air. Those are spirits that throw you off, so you have to be aware of the power of God. The power of God, I will always remember, I may have told you, that Cimarron came into one of those scenarios, and the Lord told him, kick him down. And he kicked him down. And so that showed it, that it wasn't such a great power. There's a strong word here that you have to be aware of, is deception. And when you begin to flow or function in the spirit realm, you are a candidate for deception. Only you can protect yourself by rightly dividing the word of God, that you won't go off in no tangent on something. Somebody ate too much last night and think they got a revelation, you know what I mean? So you have to have, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you're going to have, and I'll define these things, perception and discernment. Being able to discern, is this the power of God, or is this the power of the flesh or the devil or some witchcraft or something, you know? So let's look at, let me hear them hit these 12 things. One of them is theology. And that is lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Replace revelation. Theology tries to replace revelation. And you see it's lacking of inspiration. We'll take them one by one from the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who keep you functioning in the Spirit of God. Okay? Then number two, and this one will, you know, sort of shout back at you, but it's still intellectual education. Sometimes people think because they got some kind of high IQ mentally, they really can operate spiritually. But it says intellectual education replaced character. In other words, you cannot have the character that you need just by intellect to operate in the spirit realm. As a characteristic in the spirit, but a fruit of the spirit. You know, you can't operate in them just by intellect. They're the fruit of the spirit. They're not a fruit of the intellect. And third, and this one is bad because I've seen it. I even tried to study a man material about 5 years ago and God hollered at me in the car. You don't know what that is? Psychology and psychiatrists replace spiritual discernment. In other words, person got a problem, they need somebody who be able to discern the spirit to go to the root of the thing. And church, for lack of the supernaturalness power of God, they went on the hayride of believing that psychology or psychiatry can answer men's dilemma, but it can't. Okay? Because it never goes to the root. It might make some arrangement, but it never goes to the root. And then number four, man-made programs replacing the leading of the Holy Spirit. Man-made program. Replace the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That cut the power off for sure. Number five, and you know, 1 Corinthians 2 is a masterpiece. But Paul tells us how to. Let's look at that now for number five. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at that a minute because I think this is a minister chapter. If you really want to know how God's power works, in the first chapter you got for the preaching of the gospel, cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us who believe, I think it's the 18th verse, is the power of God. And that's what we're talking about, the power of God. And so when Paul said that, he went over in that second chapter and he gave us a commentary on what he meant about the power of God and how to function in the power of God. Because you remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. See, he had said in the first verse, for the preacher calls is foolish to those who perish, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. The power of God includes the supernatural, includes miracles, include all that God can do, include his glory. Includes stopping Satan in his track. Includes stopping Satan in his track. A person operating in the real power of God. That's what happened when Philip went to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. That power of God stopped Satan in his track. I don't know whether the guy got saved or not. You know, he got baptized or he got in the line, you know, because he saw the power of God. I don't think he was fully convinced because he tried to buy it, though. But then in the second chapter here, now after he said he told us the power of the cross or the finished work of Christ, now you look in this second chapter, and I, brother, when I came to you, came now with first verse, with excellent speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't come by no intellect. And the next one, number five. Let me give you number five now. It's a good time to give it to you. Eloquence replaced the demonstration of power. See, church has got good speakers. They can talk real good. But it replaced the demonstration of power. But the Lord ain't looking for no good talking. The Lord looking for somebody who obeying him. You follow me, client? And so we can't. The Bible said, try the spirit by the spirit. Spiritual things should be looked at from a spiritual perspective. Are you here? Now, you see, it must not be looked at by emotional excitement. That can throw you. You think the power of moving in it, nobody getting nothing. Yeah. But happy. Yeah. All right. Yes, now. So Paul, when he says about his speech, now Paul was not an uneducated man. Real smart, been trained in the best of school. Like Moses. Moses wasn't no dumb. Moses was trained in Pharaoh's household, man. But when it got down to the realm of the spirit, those boys knew this stuff will not work. We're going to have to know that. There's no IQ in the spirit. No, because you got to die. And your dependency has to be upon him. And you have to totally surrender for the Holy Ghost to use you. You have to have the I can on my own. See, basically, when you do that, your insufficiency will call on God's sufficiency. And then the Holy Spirit will step in and help you. You got to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit. What I say? Yeah, that's what I want this school to be all about, depending on the Holy Spirit, not on yourself, not on how much you've studied, not on how good you can talk. All right, so Paul said in the second verse, well, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, he's bringing it up, the power of God. That's the second verse, bringing up the power of God again. That's the power of God. I think it's in the 18th verse. Yeah, for the preaching of the cross, the first chapter. You know, that period is foolish, but unto us, what is say it was the power of God. But that's the same thing he's saying in verse 2 of the second chapter, okay? Yeah. Then he goes on to say, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That brings us to a place of not being afraid. Yeah. That's a holy reverence, Dad. That's a holy awe-ness that I have the opportunity to represent such a kingdom. You know, you almost ask yourself, why call me? And then you go figuring out on your hand so many people who could seem like they'd do a better job than you would do. But God knows what he's doing. You see. So he says, So that weakness and in fear and in much trembling is grace based. So man who recognized, or a woman who recognized that this type of work, assignment, this vision must be in alignment with grace. Are you following me? See, it's grace. It's I'll be talking about that next week. It's not labor, it's favor. We're operating under the grace of God. And so he says, then he says, in fourth verse, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You see that? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he told us how he did that from the other verses, you see. Then he says, and I thought it was a good verse to go along with our tonight lesson about these substitutes for the power of God. That's why we haven't been seeing the supernatural. That's how we've been seeing a whole lot of showmanship and a whole lot of entertainment. But people don't get healed. And people are not entering into the realm of the supernatural where miracles and signs and wonders could happen in their lives. We have to see to this happening. We have to know how to yield to the Holy Spirit, the miracles, the gifts of the Spirit that God can minister through us as vessels what he wants to minister. We have to know the sacredness and the seriousness of this mission that we're out on, studying to be ambassadors for Christ. He said in the fifth voice, which is a master voice, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So all these things, we're talking about all these things. Now, number five, eloquent replaced the demonstration of power, see. And they're right there with Paul shows how the demonstration of the power of God is demonstrated. Now, number six, administrators, I've seen this, replace apostles and prophets. You see the pastors and teachers and evangelists, administrator. I had a case one time, young man had an administrator, and they had some financial problem came up, and the first thing he want to do, have a meeting, he want to cut the pastor's salary. I said, my God. So he called me. I said, no, this is not going to happen. I tell you what, fire him. Let him go, because he don't even know how it goes. You the man got the train running. And so he fired him, and everything took off. Yeah, the first thing I called you in and said, can you take a cut? Why you act a man who done plowed the field up? Can they take a cut? Said, somebody, won't you take a cut? I'm going to cut you on my vision. Now you going to cut me? But you know, a lot of deacons and a lot of boards run churches, and the people really are suffering. Number seven, reason, logics, and a carnal mind replaced living by faith. And number eight, motivation of preaching replace the message of the cross. Motivation of preaching replace the message of the cross. Now, number nine is rigid laws, norms, and regulation replace love. Number 10. Every Sunday morning you can find this. Entertainment replaced power. Every now and then I preach, but I preach in power. I preach Sunday morning. At the end of I'm preaching in power. I feel a Holy Ghost, man. These words is coming out, and I'm afraid I'm going to die if I don't do it. Number 11, this one here. Human ability replaced God's grace. Wow. And then number 12 is talking about tradition replace the word. These are 12 substitutes for the power of God. You can go sit in the average church, you'll see where it's being taken place. It'll turn the television on. The spirit of witchcraft is in operation wherever you find these two things: corner habits and legalistic practices. Corner and legal in the flesh. And then they get off into demonical spirit because they take over. So the spirit of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 15:23, you can put a note, is in operation whenever you find corner habits, not in the spirit, and legalistic practices, law, don't do this, do that, don't do this. Now, open your Bible to Galatians 3:5, because these people, Paul said, it will bewitch, he called it. But I just want to go to the fifth verse to get us to realign and go back, and then we'll go over these 12 things. The fifth verse. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, we know the answer to that, the hearing of faith. So it is said that the Galatians had started out in the Spirit. See, they were saved, they were filled with the Spirit, witnessed miracles, signs, and wonders. Are you listening? Now listen very carefully now. But at some point, and this is very tricky, it's very touchy, it's the Hebrews 4:12 here. It's the 1 Thessalonians 5:23 here, what I'm about to say. It's very tricky. At some point, the human soul became a substitute for the Holy Spirit. The human soul became a substitute. And I'll tell you right now, it can't fill the mission. So there's such a hairy line between soulish operation and spiritual operation. And you have to have perception and discernment with eloquence mixed with it. You know what I'm saying? And intellect mixed with it, you have to have discernment and perception to even know if God's moving or not. Because most people, they're going to go with it. They're going to say, wow, that's a home run. But nobody got nothing. Yeah. Everybody was left on base. First. Yeah. Second, give you more hope, you know. You might make a run. But you can notice, I mean, you're from good churches, most of y'all, from my son's churches, thank God. But you know where you came from. I sure know where I came from. Wasn't nothing happening. And nothing happening. Even for a while myself, I wasn't doing nothing. At some point, the human soul became a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Now, only the Word of God, that's what Hebrews 4:12 tells us, can let us know that soul trying to operate. Because it is a copycat. And then I got a young man, he called me $1,000 to get him. I bought something, called me $1,000 to get him saved. But I got him saved today. But one of his problems was he kept saying I and my. So I stood there and let him talk. And so I just took a piece of paper, put an eye on it in front of him. He's sitting at the bar in my room. I put an eye there. I said, now watch me, son. And I put an X across it. I see some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. See how I point that out, draw that eye, even though he was talking about a lot of things he had did and accomplished, but I just listened to him, I let him talk, I let the other person talk, I let him talk, then I kill him.
Yeah.
Just like you kill a roach. I put the X cross there. I said, now son, that's your problem, you got to die.
Yeah.
I said, no matter how high you go here, just John 3:16 over here can take it to another level.
Yeah.
I talked to him a few minutes. Then I said, you ready to pray? He said, yes, sir, let's pray. Got him born again.
Yeah.
Happened to be courting a girl for 3 years. She was a Baptist girl, Christian. Been trying to talk to him about Jesus. He said, now I wonder what she's going to think now. I said, call and tell her. When people begin to put their trust in their own abilities and strength, it's a problem to God. It's a problem for God. Because they can't show you different degrees different dimension and different level. He can't show you. He can't show you what he can do with a worn out shoe or a broken broomstick. Come on now, I'm using analogies here to show you that when God began to function, it is not so much who he's functioning with, it's just how much they can yield to him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And so you stop being afraid of what God tell you to do something, because he's always going to tell you to do what you can't do.
Yes, sir. Right, right, right.
So you can operate by what?
Faith.
Okay. And then they move away from the spirit and toward the soul, which include intellect and emotion. Then we'll go explain those 12 substitutes. Then a substitution takes place in which religion take over for spiritual reality. Are you following me? All right, stick with me. Stick with me a minute here. So let's deal with some of these common substitutes for the power of God. Now, when the power of God is substituted, we are violating or voiding out the supernatural. And that's why the church has suffered so much. We had good preachers and good people, but they don't know how to function in the supernatural. And that's what God is bringing to us and through us and through this class, through these instructors that are instructing you all. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, man. I mean, the Father, well pleased that you're hearing how to straighten this thing out. You, the generation, going to straighten this thing out.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to follow that same old mold that centuries and centuries and centuries preacher been following and haven't been accomplishing squat duty. I ain't used that word in a long time. Squat duty is my word. Nothing. You know, I studied theology. And turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 again, if you're still there. Theology, lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit, lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit, lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit, most important part of the whole deal. So when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is not there, something replaced revelation, but it's not revelation. So then 1 Corinthians 2:14, 15, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit make judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. So theology, and I thought that was a big deal one time, is man studying God with his human mind and reasoning. Man studying God. Now, how you going to study God? You can't study with your human mind and reasoning. Boy, that Bible, that old folk, you know, some people, you say, that Bible drive me crazy. Yeah, it drive you crazy. You trying to figure it out without the Holy Spirit, it will drive you plumb nelly. You following Jesus and think Jesus so cool, and Jesus put mud on a man's eye, spit on it. Now, your logic can't handle that. You go plumb crazy. What is he doing? I'm following him. Then you got 20,000 people, 5 loaves of bread, and 2 small fish. He tell them, sit down. What is he out of his mind about to embarrass the whole church? So there's a proper way to study God. But in order for it to be effective, you need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now you can't go no deeper than in Ephesians 1:17, I think it is. Talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of his calling, riches of his glory and inheritance of the saints, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You can't go further than that, you know, and then over in the 16th chapter of Matthew, there's keys of revelation. As I told my congregation, you can't have dominion by opinion. I'm going to give you my opinion. Nobody want nobody your opinion. You ain't dying for nobody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You done got smart and got a few verbs, three adjectives. Now you all of a sudden, you God. Are you the smartest one God ever called? No, you need revelation. Revelation. So the proper way to study God is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, not theology. Not through men, but through the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is real acquainted with him. And then, you know, I love this verse. I love John's 16, 13, 14, 13, 14, and 15. That's a wonderful lesson there where the Holy Spirit, Jesus revealed the Holy Spirit's job. And I call him an eavesdropper. The Holy Spirit hears what the Father's saying, then come tell it to you. That's revelation. He break it down where you can understand it. So now this is very important. So there's a word that I've been hemming on for quite some time because I see imbalance. There must be balance. The knowledge you receive from studying the word, there must be balance. Here's the balance: with the knowledge you get from the Holy Spirit. See, the word and the Holy Spirit goes together. This combination of the Spirit and the word is what transforms our lives. See, now you can get an imbalance, you can go to getting a lot of word in you, and you're not a carrier of the Spirit, and you're going to get choked somewhere down the line. You can't handle the word without the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of theology. There's a lot of information out there that carry the name of God, but it does not. You can't carry the name of God properly without the functioning of the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. We need his help. And so. Here's what you have to work on. Not grieving him. Not quenching him. Holy Spirit. Not resisting him. Not having an unloving attitude. Having boldness and compassion mixed together. Know when you went up the road too far and back and take off from where you went too far. Holy Spirit will call you on the carpet. If you're going to operate in the Spirit now, if you're going to get results in your ministry, if you're going to get results, you're going to have the balance of the Spirit and the Word, and the Holy Spirit is going to have to be the orchestrator or the executor of the divine things of the kingdom. Yes. Amen? Yes, amen? You understand that? Yes. See, so don't let nobody call you out because of your inability. That has nothing to do with you, what God wants you to do. It's dependability. See, it's how much you can depend on God, how much of yourself you can let go. How much of yourself you can let go. How much of all that false stuff you have learned over the years you can let go. Let God do what he wants with you, you see. And so I've seen in my 43 years of ministering intellectual people who think they're more educated than God. And they have very little respect for ministers. We talk about there are intellectual people who are smart. I'll tell you, like I told you, the young lady who teaching on prayer now, she tore our class up. But she's the smartest girl in our class. She's going to teach on that prayer. You're going to get some teaching on the prayer, buddy. Because I tested her. And then she got a good name. She a Thompson. You know, But intellectual education replaced character. You see, now there's character in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And if I can say it a certain way, I'm not too smart, but it's a certain way you carry yourself. For God to use you. Yeah, I mean, now, I understand pastoring. Some you have to lead and some you have to rule. Y'all didn't know that? Some come to your church, pastor. You can lead them. Others, you're going to have to rule. Say, this is what we're going to do right here.
Right.
Not that you're going to lose the church. You're going to be sitting in the back pew and they're going to be sitting in the pulpit. Because there are some people come to reign in your church. So leading and ruling, you know, and you need to know a sheep from a billy goat. You need to know how to deal with them. I'm telling you to change the fact now. Just get happy about it because it's true. But this intellectual education cannot produce the character that the Holy Ghost can. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance can. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the character of the gifts that all of a sudden a man, a woman talking and turning into another woman, turning into another man by the Spirit of God. And you sense a presence. You sense the glory. You sense your shift. Now, even in dealing with that young man, now, he was intellectually kind of talking about it. He was a trainer and all that, you know. But all of a sudden, and he read the Spirit. I mean, the boy read the Spirit. My nephew was sitting on the other side of him. He was sitting at the bar. I was standing there. He said, no, something happened when you were standing over there. Well, I felt the Holy Ghost came real strong. That boy felt, he said, something transpired in here when you were standing over there, sir. I said, yeah, it's happening again. He said, yeah, I feel it right now, too. A present come. What I say? Yeah, see, the present don't ever come. You don't ever sense the present. You sweating and fighting. And you don't ever sense the present. You ain't getting nowhere, man. Go back in the closet. Good God Almighty. I feel a present coming in here now. See, it's a present. It's, oh, my goodness, man. My goodness. There's no price that you can pay for the present. You got to be hungry every day. You can't turn God on and turn God off like you turn a radio. You know? So here in 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34 in the NIV Bible, it says, do not be misled. Thank God. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 33, 34 in the NIV Bible. Now, Matthew 12:35 says in the NIV, a good man bring good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man bring evil things out of the evil stored up in him. That's whatever in you got to come, you're going to come out, you see.
Yes,
and then you hang around a place long enough, you'll find out what's in them.
Yes,
just let them talk. Just sit there, let them talk. Finally, they're going to get to a crooked spot in the road. You say, oh, that, well, my God, let me leave here. That's why I don't park in. I park out so I can get out. And I'm not too much of a social fellow. And I'm not too much of a crowd man unless we're doing what we're doing now. Wedding receptions and different function. I'm not too much at that. I don't have nothing to talk about.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jesus is going to be on the block in a few minutes. I'm there. I'm coming up with a comment. I got voices in me. And so I'm praying with his voice over now. I can sit down and socialize a little while, but then I'm gonna start talking about Jesus. I'm gonna break your party, gonna be shut down. It's gonna turn out to be a Holy Ghost meeting. So I just stay away from them things. You know. Say, well, you don't have no pleasure. Well, I'll pleasure at my house. I ain't got time. Them people be lying and come up to you and you smell smoke, smell whiskey, they be hiding stuff, and, you know. Some man put a cigarette in his pocket one time, about to burn himself up trying to hide it. Man, I smell smoke, man. You see, Reb, I was trying to hide the cigarette, man. You had to hide no cigarette from me. I'm just going to stay from around you. Then in Romans 8:7, in the Amplified Bible, it says, that is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. You read in Romans 8, you understand what that means. So we're dealing with that intellectual aspect of it. Now, I'm not against education. But I read one time, you know, some years back, 20-something years ago, I got a hold of a book of a very wealthy man. And he said education is a game. He said people go to college all their life, be in debt up to their neck for college, and then get out and can't get a good job. Never make enough money to catch up. You better be to the prosperity resolve. We're going to catch up next week. I'm going to show you how to catch up, pass up, get up, stay up, everything else. God, show me some things so you be here. Education occupies an important place in the life of an individual, and it's important for young people to study. I ain't got nothing against it. Pursue educational degrees and become excellent professionals. But we must keep in mind that intellectual education does not build or shape their character. It only prepares them to carry out a job. Are you listening? So the only thing that can shape character and transform the heart of a man is the power of God. You agree with that?
Yes, sir.
So that'll let you know how important it is, you hear, you by internet, how important it is your studies are. You're studying the most important subjects that exist. Harvard can't study this properly unless they go under somebody who knows what they're doing. Southern University, LSU, you know, Dillard, all those places come below this. I'm not putting them down. I'm just putting them in place. You follow what I'm saying? And then we have to bring the dignity of the ministry back on the front porch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've been kicked long enough, unrespected, unacknowledged, because we have not had enough evidence. Now, any function I go to, they may not want to, but they got to respect me. Why? They don't have nothing to look down on. You follow what I'm saying? Because they can't see your heart, but they can see how you drove up there. That's not priority, but that's part of it. That's not priority, but that's part of it. Because you ought to have evidence in your life. You're a child of God. If your God is big as you've been saying he is, you ought to have something to show for it. Now, and I like this. It is very dangerous to train people intellectually without dealing with their character. And only remember, not only the power of God can deal with their character. Listen to this. When the carnal or worldly mind is educated without character, training, it become a well-educated enemy of God. Results. Some theological seminary do not believe in the supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit. Schools will be schools about God. They don't believe in the supernatural revelation because they only go to educate mind without shaping character. And so the author say those students become enemies of the gospel of the kingdom. Let's look at psychology. I studied psychology in depth. I had an inferiority complex. I didn't know what the Lord wanted to study it for. I didn't know the places, high places he was going to send me into and the people that I was going to have to deal with, different calibers. But the Lord, he did it in his own way, you know. He had me to study it. And so I know a lot of psychology. But it says psychology and psychiatry replace spiritual discernment. That's a problem now. See, psychology studied the soul and the mind. Notice the spirit wasn't in there. Psychiatry is the science that studied the illnesses that are connected to the human mind. Now, here where I get happy at. God gives us perception. and the Son. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Both of which help us to discover the root causes of our problem. Science can't do that. See, science can't change your character. Science can't change your category in the world society, but it can't change your character. So the word perception and the word discernment is so important for where we are now. And to be able to discern what is the power of God, what is a substitute for the power of God, and how to make the shift. What is perception? Perception, I love it, is the ability to see, hear, or become aware of spiritual realities. That's a powerhouse there. Perception, the ability to see, the ability to hear, or become aware of spiritual realities. Listen to this. Right government. Insight. The ability to see beneath the outward form to the underlying, often hidden reality. Right government insight. Spiritual government insight. Well, that's it. Kingdom insight. Covenant insight. The ability to see beneath the outward form to the underlying, often hidden reality. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 said, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. It's another word, see, judgment, discretion. All of these are important. You know, they may sound dull, but they're packing great dividends. I can tell you that for a fact. I can tell you, yes, praise God. That these are discernment, perception, discretion, sound judgment, understanding, wisdom. Pack high dividend in this realm. Hallelujah. Yeah, I say in this realm. See, high dividend. And then they're rare in the body of Christ. Everybody jumping, running, psychology and strategies. See, the thing we have, saints of God, is we deal with unusual strategy. Not just strategy, unusual. That you have to function in God's strategy, you're going to have to function in faith or you're not going to do it. See, unusual strategy. With your own personal lives and solution you need by perception, by discernment, by discretion, by understanding, by wisdom, God will give you unusual strategies that you have to believe him to do it. You have to leave the results up to him. Have faith in God. God is not a man that he should lie. See, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, unusual strategy. One of the reasons God give you unusual, you listening? Unusual strategy because Satan, he don't know where you're going to go. He said, he think you're stupid. He laughed. He said, she think that going to work? Done deal. God got his hand on it. See, you got to get the position that you understand divine codes. God give you some divine codes. It's not adding up. Not adding up. You got Satan scratching his head, demons scratching their head, and you scratching your head. They're not adding up, but you move in faith because they can't operate in faith. And God take you somewhere and hide you until a storm passes. And while the storm passing, you come back in and build you another house. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get you to see the vividness, the clarity of this life. This life is so extravagant. It's astonishing what God can do if a man or woman trusts him properly. magic is no comparison to mystery. Mystery, magic look like a rubber ball and all of the deceptive thing they're doing. But when the mystery of God is unfolded, it's like molded snake eating the other snake up. Hebrews 5:4 talk about maturity. We need to grow up. We need to grow. It says, but solid food is for the matured, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish. Oh, I love it. Distinguish good from evil. I'm going to read it to you again. Hebrews 5:14. That's some translation. I don't even know what one is. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. How? By constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Hallelujah. Let's look at a definition of discernment. You ready? To come to know or recognize spiritually. To come to know or recognize spiritually. The sound judgment, sound wisdom, penetration and discrimination. You can discriminate. You can separate. You can see through. You can understand what is false and what is real. By the Spirit. Then in 1 Corinthians 2:14, ESV, I don't know what that is. There's a version. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see what he keeps saying it over and over again, different ways, different versions? And then I mentioned Hebrews 4:12 to you, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to divide them. Soul and of spirit of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thought and intention of the heart. Then Romans 12:2, you got to renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect by testing. That's that ESV 2 translation. Now listen to this. But instead of using the word of God, we sometimes seek answers to our spiritual problem with psychological and psychiatry strategies and methods. I mean, instead of going, you know, and actually, if you're in a good church, you don't need no counseling. Now, if you're constantly going to a circus, you need counseling. But if you're going to a church, see, God, see, the message we preach should be have been prayed over, and it's the message that you need when you sit down in that church. You'll get your answer. But you're not going to get your answer if you're not listening. You follow me? Psychologists and psychiatrists have the best intention to help people. Oh, listen very closely. But they do not deal with the roots of their problem, which are spiritual. They can't deal with it. I mean, they got all kind of, I'm okay, you okay. I'm not okay, you not okay. I'm okay and you not okay. They got all kind of transaction analysis, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, drive you crazy. If you're a demon on you, demons say, I'm okay too, you not okay. You ain't got no power, you know. And then, you know, I read pulling your own string, you know. Self-help. That is right there, self-help. You don't want to help self too much because self going to go right in the hand of Satan. Now, if you can read it and put it in perspective, I did. I had to because the Lord made me read them. So, listen. You listening? They only deal with symptoms. The branches, which are superficial. You remember when Jesus cursed that fig tree? You remember where he went? To the root. He went to the root. That's, and I think that's an example to us. The Lord deal with the root of things, supernaturally deal with the root. You've been dealing with something, you go over and over trying to get that thing straight. You say, man, yeah, the baboom again, the 15th time. You never went to the root to it. Well, how you get to the root? Pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said when you pray in the Spirit, you speak it not in the man, but in the Spirit, you speak as mystery. Mystery is your solution. He'll show it to you. Call on me and I'll answer you and show you a great and mighty thing you don't know. You follow me? Then this next one, class, man-made program. Oh, Lord, man day, woman day, your day, my day. 20 men in black, 14 women in white. Man-made program replaced the leading of the Holy Spirit. Replaced the leading of the Holy Spirit. Man asked me how you accomplished so much in the little town. I didn't do it. I am to do Romans 8:14 every day of my life to be led by the Spirit. Are you following me? And you do that, you that roll over in your family, that roll over in every day of fam. You want to be led by the Spirit. The Bible teaches that in order for our works to prosper, God must take the initiative. Proverbs 16:3 is a powerful verse. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:9, class, listen. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Real powerful. Now watch this. And don't let this happen in your life. Don't let this happen in your ministry, all right? Do not let this happen. Many churches carry out their services according to their own agenda. And ask the Lord to bless it. Some even plan activity 2 or 3 years in advance without allowing any room for whatever the Holy Spirit might want to do. And he says, this is the one reason we see such powerlessness within the church. These prefab programs. I had a lady here. She used to play for the Catholic Church. She was an elderly lady. She told me and my wife, she said, you know, I'm so glad to be here. She said, I went to church one Sunday. She played, she would play for them. If I got to play this one more time, I'll go crazy. I just tired the same old thing. And she finally got out the Catholic Church. Now, eloquence replaced the demonstration of the power. And I read 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand, what? In the wisdom of men, but in what? Power of God. Here's an indictment. And I want you to be aware of this fact can happen. Many preachers fail to impart transformation to the hearts of the people. Why? Because they leave out the most important ingredient, the power of God. Then they never touch people's heart. They people never transform. Because the power of God is not in the meeting. The eloquent they speak it. See, can you agree with this? People runs after personality-driven churches. Yeah, right. Then the man end up messing with little boys. Yeah. Ain't so popular no more. Or some man run over some other man's wife, which is not right. I see these young people now, they're trying me. These young people, they go live together and won't get married. I've had 3 do that. All right. They're going to marry. I'm not going to marry them. But it is already disrespect me. You know, I told him it's not right, and I see they're trying to get a little game going out there. They're going to stay together and try each other out. Yeah. Then we'll come and have the biggest win that anybody ever had. And then the win, everything gone now. Well, we're saving up to have a way to stand together. We just don't save up to have no way to stand together. Boy, that ain't God. So I see they tried me. Who that was that tried me? Who that was? Jam, who that was that? Jam Brown? Yeah, try me. I'm not for immorality. I'll help you.
Yes, sir.
But if I speak to you, I want you to obey me. If you start a shack up, I tell you, no, shut it down. Come on back to your house.
Yeah.
I'll go get you a problem by yourself. You ought to obey me.
Yeah, right.
If you don't, I'm not going to obey you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, sir. So, I mean, they think they get away, but they ain't getting away with nothing. People run after personality-driven churches, I'm going to close in a minute, that are built on human charisma, talent, and gifts instead of on the name of Jesus. Pass up a good preacher. Pass up a man or woman who got character dedicated to God. They're passing them up, going over here where they're doing all this. And I despise this one here, I tell you. Administrators replace apostles and prophets. Then Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Acts 2:42. Apostles and prophets, Bible says so, bring the revelation and power that create breakthrough within the church. They are empowered by God with the anointing for spiritual warfare. When we substitute administrators for apostles and prophets, we essentially take much of God's power away from the church. Now, through ignorance, we went a long time. We didn't even understand the apostles and the prophets. I pastored for years. I didn't understand. I just going on. You know? And so now we're in the apostolic season in our churches. And we've seen things happen. Now, actually, the prosperity revival will be apostolic and prophetic this year. Apostolic and prophetic. We're going to pioneer some things, pioneer some revelation, some insight. Many, many will get that breakthrough that week. See, because it started already. I mean, one woman went to pay her bill, light bill, electric bill, all paid. She said it never happened to her before. Man sent a $13,000 check here yesterday. A partner sent a $13,000 check. Another partner sent a $1,000 check. I mean, it started. I mean, it always started ahead of time. You know?
Yes, sir.
You have to know that in the spirit world, reason, logic, and carnal mind cannot replace living by faith. Now, as long as I've been in this business, I came to prayer, early prayer this morning, and the Lord start telling me about faith again, in a deeper dimension, operating in faith. And I believe, I'm going to try to cover it next week, that people are sowing, but they're not sowing in faith. Every seed you sow, you got to send a load of faith with it. Faith going to hold it on the road till you get to your harvest.
Yes, sir.
You don't do it just because everybody else doing it, you see. But you know Romans 8:6-8 say, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, law of God, law of God, law of God. Neither can indeed be, so that they in the flesh cannot please God. When we handle a divine situation with a carnal mind, we limit God and loose hold of the supernatural. I'm going to say that again now. Watch. You need to know this. When we handle a divine situation with a carnal mind, we limit God and lose hope of the supernatural. Faith gives us the ability to believe above human reason because it supersedes all reasoning. See, can you agree with this? If you don't agree, I don't care. I just flat foot don't care. I don't care what you think about me. I just don't care. You got to come to that point, you know. Just don't care. Don't make no difference. You think I can teach? You think I can preach? So what? I don't know. I'm doing all right. I don't care what you think. I just flat foot don't care. Need to take it to your face. In case you think I'm boring, I just don't care. You might be boring yourself. Picking on people, you know. But listen to this statement. Many of the things the Lord did in the Bible did not make sense to those who witnessed them. It don't make sense, man. It is nonsense, it's faith. But you got to come to the point that you don't care. You know. I don't need you patting me on my back. I got over that long time ago. When I started teaching and stopped pooping and howling and cutting words up, I preached one time. A lady walked out and told me, said, I pulled up and preached, you made a nice little talk. She was so sad for me, you know. Then motivation of preaching, and I'll try to close it, motivation of preaching replaced the message of the cross. You know, I've been dealing with the message of the cross. And Galatians 6:14 is a powerful verse. It almost like 1 Corinthians, what it is, 1 Corinthians 2:2. That's what Paul said in another way. Now, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified and the men are unto the world. Not the wooden beam. The finished work that took place. There's no power in the wooden beam. Now, motivation of preaching is good because it inspired people. But when it is done without Jesus Christ as his center, it has no power to change heart. Heart changing through the finished work of Christ, you see. To eliminate or hide Jesus within a message so as not to offend people. We got a lot of churches doing that right now. I mean, they just say nice stuff. Never tell them they're wrong. One man, one preacher, one large preacher, large in ministry, had another large preacher in ministry, and they asked him about, is there another way to Christ, another way to God than Jesus Christ? And the man didn't answer. The preacher said he got so mad he could jump through the TV and punch him in the mouth. He got angry. I called both of them names. You know both of them. They're both popular preachers right now. He said, I could knock his teeth out. He won't give Jesus the glory. And he talking about, well, people believe a certain way. You can't believe no certain way.
Right.
This young man today, you got to know the word. This young man today said, well, you know, he said, there's so many people got their belief about religion, and so I just try to listen to them all. And he just generalized Jesus, you know. I said, yeah, but John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I said, any of them outside of that, they're wrong. This is the right one, yeah. See, I was in the process of winning him over. So you have to have evidence by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost called scriptures up to keep him from being generalizing. A lot of people witnessing, but they're not witnessing properly. And so I'm not getting in the boat with all these folks. I'm telling you right now, I'm not getting in the boat with all these folks. I'm going to stick with what the Lord said. And if you do that, you're always going to be on the right page. All right, class, you listening? I said, this school is not for a whole lot of hooting, hollering, and preaching. We need it. And, you know, we need to be taught. And, you know, every now and then, you know, want us to raise our voice a little bit, but that's all right. But we don't, we're not going to have preaching, teaching, and teaching mixed. You're supposed to be taught yet. You ain't come here for a good time. You ain't had enough good time already. That's why you're here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all, I subpoena y'all to the Prosperity Revival. Y'all know you got to come. And I ain't talking about no one night either. Ain't no excuses, the skin of a lie. Huh? Excuses are the skin of a lie. Another one is somebody crutches. Crutches of the uncommitted. We need to be here. I don't know how many Prosperity Revival I've done, but I believe this is going to be a whooper. I've seen some things. Men have taught me some things. And I use it all. And I got my church praying. I got this text praying going on. I believe some of the boys got it going on too. Man, this thing getting powerful. We're praying at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week. Then we pray on Monday night also. I'm going to get 70 people to come in the morning. I got 120 I need on Monday night. I went up to 97. I'll get them. And then I want at least 300 every Wednesday night when I teach. That's Gideon 300. 120 was in the upper room. And the 70 Jesus sent out. Those are biblical numbers. I'll get them. I got them in here. I just got to coach them a little bit. I got them. If I get 70 going in the morning and 120 on Monday night, and 300 on Wednesday night, you think we're going to turn down Louisiana and everything up down. And then my people praying, man. My phone at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Ring! So-and-so, I prayed an hour and read. We're reading the book of Acts. Read Acts 13. Phone ring again. 5 o'clock. They said, I prayed an hour and read it. I said, glory to God. And, you know, I'd like to come out here every morning with my people. I love to come out here, man. This is... And the rest of the day, the day just bother when you come. Yeah, you come. I mean, you done got ready with God, man. We got one class teaching prayer. Yeah, we got a class teaching prayer with Montreal. Oh, she teaching now. She's my new teacher, yeah, see. Well, just listen to her. She's been with me a long time. How long you been with me? Almost 25 years. Never give me an ounce of trouble. Support the ministry, stand right in there. Good girl. She's going to do well. And then she ain't going to teach no crazy stuff. So just stick with it. You need to learn how to pray. She's one of my intercessors. I got 8 women, boy. I learned that from Dr. Cho. I got 8 women. I'm men. Y'all all right, brother. I love y'all. Y'all got too many. Y'all going to ask me a question and all that. I ain't got time to be asking my question. I told you what to do. Pray. You get them women, you give it to them women, boy. They've been having it for years. Now, I just had to stop a little while. They got to preaching a little bit, you know. They got happy. So I walk in, I said, no more preaching. See, that's a test, you see. See, they're going to get hot. They ain't got hot. They just quit. Do what you tell them to do. Huh? And so they got this intercessory prayer going, man. And I feel it, too. I can sense it. You know, they helped me. Like I told you tonight, they helped me in school. About all that praying, man. And see, what you got to understand now, praying can turn to witchcraft. You can't have nobody on your prayer team trying to control you. They got to be with you. If they try to control you, get them off of that. How you get them off? Tell them you off. You ain't got to have no prayer meeting to get them off. Say, don't you show up next week. See, would you do that? Ask my members would I do it. Yes. That's the way to do it. Hurt my feeling. I'm going to another church. It never was planted here. Because you're planted. If you planted someone, you can't pull your own root. You can't pull yourself up. If the Lord planted you, how you leading? The Lord sent me here. Who? The Lord. Now you're going? So who put you here? See? Lord, back your pastors up. Get on them intercessory prayer. You some of you women, y'all, I don't know if y'all on the intercession prayer. Get up. Get on that prayer and back your pastor up. And you're part of the vision. Stand up. Lift your hand and thank God for what we heard. Glory to God. I'll finish teaching this. Praise his holy name. Thank you for what we heard. Let it saturate. Let it soak us. Get us ready for our other classes. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let us know the difference between the spirit and the soul. Hallelujah. Thank you for every person on the sound of my voice here and all the students by internet all over the country and the world. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Let their lives come alive as they listen to these teachers, instructors, and as we become as one man in this school, ready to do your work. Thank you for these pastors and ministers, their churches. Oh, God, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Love your Holy Spirit. Teach us, train us, develop us. Give us character. Give us fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your holy name. All right, Claire, God bless. God bless.